I'm thankful that His Word is alive and it's quick and it's powerful and it's still relevant for the time that we live in today. I'm thankful that it doesn't change, but it's still the same, and it's because the author is still the same as the author and the finisher of our faith. Thankful that He's a friend to us as we sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. Written on the board, the words, "The Lord that healeth thee." Burden the Lord's been talking with me about through this week. I'd like to begin in the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter. Exodus chapter 15, this is the time when the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The scripture says that the Lord heard their cry, and the Lord, He heard from heaven the sound of their groanings, of their bondage that they were under, and the affliction that His people were afflicted with. And He had mercy and compassion, and He had a plan and a desire to deliver them from the hand of their oppressors. And so we know the story of the deliverance through the Red Sea and how the Lord delivered from the hand of Pharaoh's army. And as was already made reference this morning, the Lord gave to them that deliverance, and they did what was natural and fitting on the other side of the sea. And they sang praises to the Lord, and they rejoiced for what the Lord had done for them. But they couldn't stay there forever. Do you remember this morning the feeling of when the Lord first saved you? I remember trying to explain it. I was young at the time. The best words I knew how is, it just feels like honey. It's just so sweet. It's wonderful. You know, they couldn't stay in that place. Looking back over, and I don't know, maybe seeing a wagon wheel floating here and a few pieces of carriage or a wagon chariot floating along and remembering what the Lord had done. But you know, the Lord didn't want them to just stay put right there. The Lord had other plans. I've got a place that I'm trying to take you to, and this is a monumental time and step in your experience of your journey of what I've brought you from and the place that I've brought you to, but it's not the end of it. There's more that I have for you. I'd like to look here in the 23rd verse. It says, "When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and will keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, the Lord wanted to reveal Himself unto His people. They had been 430 years or so in captivity and bondage, all of their lifetimes and the lifetime of their fathers. This was all that they had known. They knew and had heard the stories of the faith of their fathers and what God had done for their fathers. But I wonder if at times it seemed that He was a very distant God. I wonder if at times it seemed like, where is this God? We hear the stories of what He's done for our fathers, but here we are in bondage and captivity and oppression and in pain. And yet the Lord wanted to reveal Himself to His people. And He said, "I am that I am." There's no limitation with God. There's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. There's no situation, there's no bondage, there's no affliction, there's no oppression that's too hard for the Lord to be able to say, "I am the Lord. I am the Lord in this situation. I am the God of heaven that still reigns in the affairs of men." You're looking at Pharaoh and you're seeing him as your oppressor, and he is. But I am the Lord. I am the Lord that gives you deliverance. You're looking at these astrologers and magicians and all of this that have powers to be able to do things, and they do. But I am the Lord. You're looking at this Red Sea and it's too wide for you to get across. It's too deep for you to be able to walk across, but I am the Lord. You're now in a place in your experience where you've got some bitter waters. You've got some hard places that you're going through. You've got a cup of bitterness that you're drinking from. But I am the Lord that healeth thee. I want us this morning to be reminded, it seems like maybe we don't study some of these things real often, but I want us to be reminded of something this morning. Of the great privilege that we have to come to the Lord that healeth us. To be able to come and bring our afflictions to the Lord. To be able to come and bring our burdens, whatever they might be. The song that we just sang, it called it a privilege. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, the world looks on the ways of God and says that's foolishness. They always have. The world looks on, I wonder if maybe some of Abraham's neighbors and relatives and would have looked on and said, well, Abraham, where are you going? You've always been here. You've always lived in this place and you're established here, and that's not what we do. Well, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? What are you packing up for then? You're going to a place that you don't even know where it is and where you're going and where you're going to live when you get there and what's going to happen along the way. And Abraham, that's foolishness. It's foolishness, Abraham, to do those kind of things. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It doesn't add up. This isn't the way you do it. There's a better way. You go, and maybe if it's a place that you know and you recognize and there's something there for you and it's promised, then you go. But it's foolishness otherwise. The children of Israel, whenever they were, of course, they were a peculiar people in the land of their captivity. Whenever they were delivered up out of bondage, they didn't cease to become or be a peculiar people. In the nations among whom the Lord sent them, He warned them and He told them, you're going to be a peculiar people. You're not going to fit in. And by the way, I don't want you to fit in. I don't want you to be like all the other nations around you. I don't want you to mold into their ways. I don't want you to look unto their gods. I don't want you for your answers to go to the sources that they go to for their answers, because I am the Lord, your God, which has delivered you. I want to be a personal God to you to the extent that He could under the old covenant. I want to reveal myself to you just as much as I can. I want to be just as nigh unto you as I'm able to be in this dispensation. I am the Lord your God. Your God. And He told them that I will be your king. I'll be the one that fights your battles for you. You know, that was peculiar. That wasn't the ways of the world. That wasn't what the world did. Whenever they go into warfare and into battle, they all get around to prepare for the battle. They get on their knees and go to prayer. That's foolishness. That's not where you learn how to fight. You learn how to fight getting in there and scrapping and picking up your sword and practicing the arts of warfare. You certainly don't figure out your strategy bent down with your face towards the ground. It's foolishness. You see how the world looks at the ways of God and says that's foolishness? What are you doing there? What do you mean? Oh, I wonder if some of them maybe were looking over on that hill at Gideon. What do you think they're doing?
That little small group over there. Look at them. There's probably not more than 30,000 of them.
Now, wait a minute. What just happened?
What's going on down there? 2/3 of them just walked away. Well, this just got easier.
Well, they're not done. They're getting, all right, getting a drink.
Well, 9,700 of them. The great men, there's just a little handful. Boys, let's go. It's time. There's just, what are they thinking? This doesn't make sense. Folks, the God that we serve, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He doesn't work according to the ways of man. He doesn't come and consult mankind to say, what do you think I ought to do here? What do you think would be the best way to go about this? Well, show me what you have, and then I'll figure out somehow what I can do with it. The Lord's not limited, except perhaps by our unbelief. It says, I am the Lord, and I want you all to send all but the 300 home, because I want to stress something to you. I want to emphasize to you that I am your God. I am your King. I want to be that for you. I want to be in the place for you that whenever you have need, I'm the one that you come to. Whenever you're in trouble, I'm the one that you come and you bring your trouble unto. I want to be your King. But they got to a place where they began to murmur. They began to forget the Lord their God. You see, the closeness with God in that time was different than it can be for us. What a privilege we have today. As they drifted away from the Lord or weren't as close to the Lord then, it was captured in words like this. They forgot the Lord their God. And in their affliction, they sought not to the Lord. They forgot about the Lord who was their God. He wasn't first and foremost in their mind. He wasn't the one when they got in trouble that's the one that we look to. That He's the one in our time of distress. Well, of course we're going to go to the Lord. He's our King. Of course we're going to ask the Lord. He's got the answers. He's able to take care. Oh, it's nothing for the Lord. If you think this is hard, you don't know my God. But they got into a place that they forgot the Lord. They forgot about His workings. In other words, the things that they began to see began in their minds to appear bigger than their God. You know, the enemy wants to get us into that kind of place as well. The enemy wants to get us into a place where I've maybe drifted away from the Lord a little bit. I'm not as close to Him as I ought to be. His words don't bring that joy within my heart. And I don't tarry at His feet maybe as long as I should. And the sweetness of the fellowship with His Spirit maybe isn't there like it one time was. And the enemy is going to be there to try to make those things that cross our pathway appear bigger than our God. Appear bigger where I see that and it seems insurmountable. It seems impossible. It seems too big. And the Lord, all the while, wanting us to remember, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord thy God. So as the children of Israel began to get into such a place, they began to say, we want a king too. We want to be like the other nations around us, for they have a king that they can go and they can approach unto their king and they can see their king and they can talk to their king about their needs and their troubles. There was another way. They were standing at the crossroads of two paths that you can take. The Lord's saying, He had already shown them, there is a better way. There is a preferred way. I want to be this to you. I want to give you this privilege that you can come to me in prayer. You know, we can get into a mindset sometimes where, well, all we can do is pray. Well, I guess there's nothing else we do, so
Well, I guess we'll pray.
No, that's not the place the Lord wants to hold with us. The Lord doesn't want to play second fiddle. The Lord doesn't want to be the leftover God. He doesn't want to be the one where I say, well, oh, woe is us. There's nothing we can do. I guess we'll try prayer. The Lord was saying to the children of Israel, I want to be your king. I want to be the first one that you come to and say, King, here they come. Would you fight for us? But he let them make the choice. And he warned them, said, if you go this path, it's easier on the flesh. It's easier for you to go and, he didn't, mad in these words, he didn't, it's easier for you to go and to talk to your king and to see your king and to touch your king and to be able to see him going before you in battle. But there's a better way. That's the way of all the nations around you. But I want to be your king. And I want to be your God. So what does this mean for us today? Let's look at Psalms, the 103rd chapter. Psalms 103, beginning at the start. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Today, if you get nothing else out of the message, I pray that the Lord will stress upon our minds that we forget not this benefit. That we forget not the benefits that the Lord has made available to us. Healing is one of the benefits that the Lord has made available to us. It's one of the things that He's paid a price for us to be able to avail ourselves of. And you know, we can look at it sometimes and we can see it in the wrong light. Maybe I'll touch on that here in a bit. The Lord wants us to view His workings not as drudgery, as something to fear or dread or avoid, but to see it for the blessing that it is, the privilege that it is. The enemy would like to get people into a place in their mind when it comes to serving the Lord where it's all about rules and regulations and I can't do this and I can't do that and that equates in my mind to what salvation is. There's a component of that to salvation. But salvation is so much more than that. The Lord doesn't just come and strip us away of everything and just leave us a barren land. No, He strips away the refuse. He strips away the things of no value. But He does that to fill us with something of so much greater value. Where the Lord says, I've got a better way than that. I've got something better for you than that. And so it says, forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I'd like to look now at Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53, and then maybe we'll get one here in Jeremiah. Familiar passage prophesying of our Savior. Beginning in the third verse, says He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. Jeremiah 8 and 21, Jeremiah speaking, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold of me.
Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there not a physician? Is there not a way? Is there not a plan? Why are my people in this state, in this condition? The God that we serve is one upon whom it says He's carried our sorrows, He's borne our griefs, our iniquities were laid on Him. You know, the Lord came for our entire being. He came for us. He came and gave His life for us, for the whole being, for the whole person. He came to forgive our sins, to forgive our iniquities, and He came to heal our diseases. Whatever the need is, in other words, whatever the condition, whatever the state, there is nothing that is outside of the purview of what our God is able to handle. There is nothing that's outside of the atonement that He's paid with His blood. There's no condition, there's no sorrow, there's no heartache, there's no condition of mind, soul, or spirit that the world maybe and their experts would shake their heads at and say, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing that's outside of what God is able to take care of. There's nothing that the Lord looks at and says, this is too great. This is too hard. I don't know what to do with this one. Whether it's a condition of mind, whether it's distress of spirit, the Lord came as a balm for us. Jeremiah looking at His people, and I don't believe this was altogether a physical need in that situation, but he was looking at the condition of a backslidden people and looking at what they were going through and saying, is there not a cure? Is there not a physician that you can turn unto in your trouble and distress? You don't have to live in that place, distanced and estranged from God and the penalty of your sins laid upon you. There's a physician. There's a healer. I'd like to look now at Matthew, the 8th chapter. Consider an objection. There are many people today who say the day of miracles are over. There are many who say that the time of God's healing, the time of God working in miraculous ways, those are over. Those are past. There are others yet who will try to discount miracles in totality and say, well, there was some other natural explanation. There was, heard of one individual that was trying to explain how it was, he was saying there were no miracles, how it was that Peter walked on the water. And he had come up with the conclusion that they were in a severe cold snap that year, and that the sea was covered with chunks of water, and Peter got out and stood on an ice floe. And no, our God doesn't need explanations like that. Our God doesn't need an ice floe like that. He holds the laws of physics in His hands, for He is the inventor of it. He's the creator of it. He's the one by whom all things are held together, by the word of His power. And it takes no more than the word of His power to change the course of nature, to stop the sun or the rotation of the earth in its course, to stay it and say, peace be still to the waves that are roaring. Folks, it is our God. It is our God that gave deliverance from that Red Sea. And all throughout the scriptures, He says, I am the Lord and I change not. Jesus Christ, the same when? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not changed. His power is not diminished. But our world would look on an unbelieving and a skeptical world and say, it could not be so. I don't know the power of this God. A world that's trying to explain with everything that's within them why there is no need for a creator God. Of how we can explain with our scientific reasoning and processes, come to conclusions that say now we can say almost definitively, there was no need for a creator. All these things are natural processes that In other words, we don't need a God. Our world is saying today, we don't need a God. We don't need a God in government. We don't need a God in schools. We don't need a God in homes. We don't need God, our world is saying. So it's no wonder that our world is discounting the power of our God. That our world is trying to say and undermine faith in God. To say it could not have been so. To say you have to... Read several billboards recently that say, in science lives hope. And speaking of medical technology, it says, in science lives hope. No, my hope is in God. That's where my hope lives. It's not in science. The world talks about science and the scripture calls it science falsely so called. That which would exalt itself and its knowledge above the ways of God. God is the author of science. He is the God of science. And He's able to harness science for His benefit. But His ways are above our ways. They're beyond finding out. They're beyond being able to explain. We don't want to restrict God to our limited ways of thinking. I don't want to bring God down to say, only in the realm of what I can understand can you work. The song says the virtue of faith, regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. I don't want to bring God down to my level of limited human understanding. I want my faith to ascend to who God is, that He is the Lord God of heaven that made heaven and earth, and He's lost none of His power today. So I'd like to read not just my thoughts on whether these days are past. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8 and 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw His wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now hold on. Many people would say today that, well, yeah, we know theoretically that God can heal. We know that God can do anything. But really what Isaiah was talking about was only about the healing of sin. It was only about dealing with the problem of sin, forgiving sin. That's the extent and the limit of what Christ's blood was shed for. But if you read back in Isaiah 53, the word that's translated into our English as griefs in the Hebrew means afflictions. And Jesus here said, as He had done both, as He had cast out the evil spirits, He had dealt with the power of the enemy, and He also healed all those that were sick of whatever diseases, of whatever afflictions that they had. And it says that it might be fulfilled. Jesus healed that it might be fulfilled as was spoken in Isaiah 53 and 4, that He came and He shed His blood, and by His stripes we are healed. This, He said, was the fulfillment of it. He came for both soul and body, thank the Lord. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. He has risen with healing in His wings. Amen. Think about the woman story that we're familiar with, the woman that had the issue of blood. We read about it in Mark, the 5th chapter. Mark chapter 5 and 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Oh, may the Lord impress upon us today. Lord, help us to be as this woman. That we come to the Lord. She, in her case, had tried everything that she knew to try. She had gone the route of all conventional wisdom and knowledge and understanding to deal with the problem that she had. But then she heard about Jesus. She heard the things that Jesus had done. And her faith grasped hold to believe that if God did it for them, if Jesus healed them, if Jesus opened their eyes, if Jesus raised that one from the dead, He can do it for me too. And you know, that's what the Lord wants our faith, to ascend to Him, to know that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it then, He can still do it today. Lord, help us to realize that the answer to our needs is to do as this woman. If I can but touch Jesus, if I can, Lord, You are the answer. You are the one from whom the help I need will come. Lord, help us to press towards Jesus. Lord, help us not, as the song says, what needless pain we suffer and griefs we bear because we don't bring it to the Lord in prayer. That I don't realize, I don't remember the privilege and the benefit that I have of coming to the Lord in prayer. You know, we can look at divine healing the same way that some do of salvation itself. That it's a list of rules and restrictions and a straitjacket to say what I can and what I can't do. The Lord wants it to be so much more than that. This is what I've shed my blood for. And it's available for you. There's a better way. It's available. This benefit and privilege is the children's bread. And it's available for us to take advantage of in our lives. And so she did. If I can just reach Him and touch Jesus. You know, Jesus had a way of dealing with the whole man. Jesus had a way when the man came to Him saying, "Master, speak to my brother. This is what my need is right now. This is what I need Your help with now. This is urgent. Master, I need this inheritance right now. Master, take care of this for me." Jesus certainly could have talked to His brother with great authority, put the fear in His brother. Jesus could have done all those things, but Jesus instead, when He came to him, He turned first and dealt with the root of the need. There's something more that you have need of. Let me talk to you about that need that you have. Folks, it's part of the privilege of coming to the Master. That whenever I come to the Lord, I may come to Him saying, "Lord, this is what I have need of. Lord, I need this and I need You to take care of it." And if you're like me, sometimes, "Lord, here's how I need You to do it. And here's the timing in which I need You to do it. Lord, I got it all laid out now. I've got the instructions here. If You'll read my instructions from start to finish, here it is for You, Lord. Now, Lord, You let me know whenever You've taken care of that for me." Who serves who? The Lord wants His divine healing, folks, is about so much more than a straitjacket. It's about so much more than just saying, "I'm going to just grimace and hold on because it's what the saints expect." No! We're missing the privilege and the blessing of it if that's the extent of it. If it doesn't go any deeper than that. This is about placing our whole being in the Lord's hands. To say, "Lord, soul, mind, and body, You are the Lord that healeth me. Lord, You know what I have need of. It's not about me coming." Faith is not just about me saying I can believe hard enough that what I have asked, it's going to be answered how I've asked it. And I'm going to be determined enough in my mind and hold on to that, that that's the way it's going to be, and that's strong faith. You know, faith is to say, "Lord, Your way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, commit thy all into His hand." To be able to say, "Lord, I don't have the answers. I don't know
all of what's best for me. Lord, would you do what's best for me? Lord, would you work in my life what you see is best for me?
We have examples throughout the Scripture of the Lord working through the very thing that He said He could heal. What do you do with the Scripture that says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, if you ask in faith believing, it shall be done unto you"? Yes. Lord, whew, get ready, Lord. I got a long list. I got a long list of things that I think I need, Lord, and I need a car and a boat and a house, and I need this and I need that and I need that. And Lord, here I am. I got faith. See, it can be the same kind of faith that sometimes we can equate in our mind to what faith for healing is. I've got all these things, and this is what I want, and this is what I need. And you said, Lord, you said that it's going to be mine. So I'm going to go look out the window and see if my new car is out there yet. And I'm going to go and I'm going to believe. Well, I got to believe a little bit harder then. I got to believe a little bit harder. And there's something more than that. There's a deeper meaning that the Lord was trying to convey. My Father knows what things that you have need of, He says. And if you ask in faith, believing. It's what the woman with the issue of blood did. It's what the Greek woman that came to the Lord and on behalf of her daughter and said, "Master, have mercy on my daughter." And He said, "It's not meet to give the children's bread unto the dogs." "Yes, Lord, amen. But Lord, can I have the crumbs? Lord, would you give me the crumbs?" And the Lord is able to not only minister, folks, the Lord is able to do what man can never do. The Lord is able to go, and He's able through our adversity and through our afflictions, He's able to come and say, let me work something in your life that I can work no other way, that I can effect and bring about by no other means in your life, but that you have need of patience, in other words. Lord, give me patience. Lord, load me up with patience. And the Lord says, "I'll do exactly that. But there's a vehicle that I'm going to use to deliver it to you. Through much tribulation, through much trouble, and you'll be able to obtain what you had." The life of a Christian, it wasn't the promise of once you follow the Master, you'll never have any problem. Those who saw Jesus feeding them the loaves and the fishes, they came back searching for the Lord, it sounds like, just the next day or soon afterwards. And He said, "You don't seek me because you saw the miracles and you believed. You're seeking me because you were filled. You were seeking me because I gave you something to eat." Well, who wouldn't want to follow a master like that? "Hey, Lord, we're hungry again. Lord, I need something again. Lord, would you give it to me? Lord, would you take care of this? Lord, would you give me this? Would you give me that?" But that wasn't what the master was promising. For He says, "You don't know what you're asking here. The Son of Man doesn't even have where to lay His head. Are you still willing to follow me? Are you still willing whenever it doesn't meet your expectations? Whenever you come and you have your list from 1 to 10, and I choose not to meet number 3, 5, and 6, are you still willing to follow me? Are you still willing to acknowledge that my ways are better than your ways?" That's the faith that the Lord wants us to have in Him. It's not about saying, "Lord, I'm asking for a life of ease." Whenever the Lord... Well, let's turn now to James. Book of James in the 5th chapter. James 5 and 13. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him."
Because the Lord is not just in the relationship of a banker and a customer, where I come to the counter and say, I need this, and I take it and I go my way. The Lord is interested in more than that. He's interested in looking down within us. And He's interested in us looking down within ourselves sometimes, where the Lord can bring us into a place to show me a need, or to show me, to cause me to really seek His face. Where I can come and bring it to the Lord. But there was, this is a prescription that's given to us. If any be sick, it doesn't have qualifications attached. If you're sick with something minor enough, if you're sick with something that's not very serious, then you can come and ask the elders to lay hands and anoint. Folks, the things that we do, the anointing with oil and the prayer of faith for the sick, is not something prescribed by D.S. Warner. It's not something that a body of ministers got together and said, let's do this. Let's make ourselves different than the world and say, we're going to put this prohibition and that prohibition, and you come and we're going to work this kind of effect. Whenever you go to other nations, places where there are people who have little to no understanding of the Bible, and there come those who are afflicted and sick and diseased, and they're wanting prayer, and we pull out a little vial of oil. We always have to explain what the oil is. This isn't a magic potion. This isn't something that, because otherwise they say, we want some too. You tell us where this is, and whoever's sick, we're going to go apply it on their forehead. It's not the oil. It's not this combination of words that you say and a certain rote that you go through. And if you do that, then there's a special magical. No. This is about coming by faith and obedience to the Lord that healeth thee. And saying, Lord, I present my case unto you. And it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I want to ask you something. I don't want to undermine the scripture. I want the Lord to give us understanding to rightly divide it. Since the time of James, have any of the believers died? Did any in their lifetime die of sickness? You know, there's a scripture that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Folks, whenever we come to the Lord in faith, it's not about binding the Lord's hands. It's about saying, Lord, you know what's best. And I come in a way that I am fully persuaded. Lord, I know. Lord, you're my king. Lord, you're the one I come to. Because I know that you're able. I know that you're well able to do this. So, Lord, I present my case unto you. Lord, would you have mercy? And we have the promises of the scripture that we have a great high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Not only the infirmity itself, but our feeling with the infirmity. He knows what it's like. He knows what it is to carry something. He knows what it is to suffer with something. And He's touched by that. So I can come in obedience to His word, in faith, believing He is able to raise us up. Folks, many, many times the Lord has heard and answered prayer in miraculous ways. Not only in times past. The enemy wants to try to rob us today, in our time, of the times that the Lord has heard and answered prayer, of healings and miracles in our very lifetimes that the Lord has worked. And the enemy instead wants to try to get our focus. Well, the Lord didn't heal this one. And the Lord didn't heal that one. And this one's still sick over here. So it must not still be working today. If we don't have a strong foundation of what divine healing is, it's going to seem, as it does to the world, foolish. It's going to seem like a thing in the past that's not for us today, that's irrelevant for our times, because the foundation of it is gone. This is a faith that worketh by love. By committing myself, by a bondage of love to the Master, to my Savior, to say, Lord, you know best. Lord, I place my soul, mind, body, spirit into your hands. And Lord, would you have mercy? Whenever the Apostle Paul came and he besought the Lord, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Second Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Thank the Lord, we can do that. We can come as the widow before the unjust judge. Lord, would you have mercy? Lord, I'm coming to you again. Lord, would you hear and answer prayer? Lord, I still need you here, that I make an earnest petition before the Lord. But there came a time when he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what Paul's faith did with that? He didn't say it. Well, it's gone. I don't have faith now. The Lord didn't hear an answer. Neither did he say, I know somebody else that can do it for me. I know another way. I know a plan B if you don't answer. I'm going to go talk to the physician Luke. I'm going to go see if I can. But he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And I say, Lord, help me to have this level of faith. I want to be there. It's not for any of us to be able to stand with a confidence or an arrogance and say, whenever I get an affliction, I'm not going to do like so. Whenever I get here, I'm never going to. Lord, but by the grace of God, Lord, I'm frail. You know my frame, that I'm but dust. But Lord, I know who you are, and I know what you're able to do through your grace. Lord, you know my desires to put my trust and faith in you. You know the Lord is able. And the Lord had something he was trying to work in Paul. It wasn't just about proving a point. It wasn't about proving who he is. You know, the Lord, he's still showing who he is. He's still showing his mighty hand to us today. But he doesn't have to prove anything. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am that I am. What if some should not believe? Should their unbelief make the faith of Christ of none effect? Lord, help us. As Jesus asked, when I return, shall I find faith? Folks, we're in an unbelieving, skeptical, godless world today. And I'm not here to lay out this morning a prescription of thou shalt and thou shalt nots. But I want to present to us this morning the Lord that healeth thee. An excellent and a beautiful way that the Lord has made available as a privilege to us to be able to come to Him and bring our needs and our troubles to Him. But the Lord had another plan for the Apostle Paul. Paul, I'm going to let you bear this. But with it, you'll find a grace that you didn't know before, because you didn't need it before. In this very place, all I think of those who have been blinded and the Lord inspired songs to and the Lord worked through those very things. It's not to try to excuse any responsibility on us, where we say, well, Lord just didn't hear prayer. It must just be it wasn't His will. Well, I'll just leave it with Him. Lord, help me to do as the widow with the, or the woman with the issue of blood. Lord, search me. When I'm not going through a press of people now, but in my spirit, Lord, I need to get a hold of you. Lord, I need to touch the throne of grace. Lord, is there anything in my life that's in the way of that? Lord, is there anything in my spirit that's displeasing to you? Lord, would you take care of it as we read in James? And if there are any who have sin, it should be forgiven. The Lord's wanting to deal with the whole person as we come to Him And as the Lord brings something, and maybe He allows some pain or some suffering, and I come and I begin to seek the Lord and entreat Him, Lord, would You have mercy upon me? You know, if we come with this kind of desire and faith in Him, you know, the Lord can work those kind of things for our good, for our benefit. So it's not for us to say, well, if the Lord didn't answer prayer, there's no, Lord, is there something in me? Is there something in me that You're not able to work as You want to do? Lord, show it to me and show us if there's any place as a people, Lord, that You want us to be in a higher plane. Lord, help us to be a people of faith.
I go back to the comment I made earlier that the way of God, in whatever aspect the way of God that you're talking about, of salvation, of modesty, of conduct, of life, of healing, it will appear foolish to the world. The world will look on it and say it doesn't make sense. That's foolish to go that route. Why are you doing nothing? So, oh, but if only you knew. Because prayer is not nothing. The Lord wants us to realize and be reminded of the great privilege that we have of coming and bringing our needs to Him in faith, believing, and knowing, Lord, You are well able. You're well able. You remember, though, what the Hebrew children said? You know, they had faith in God. If you back up, read about their lives, what glimpses we have in it, they knew God. They had a relationship with God, and that's the foundation of faith. They knew their God, and whenever they came before and brought before the king, and he said, listen, you're going to go back and you're going to bow down to the statue, and they say, our God is well able to deliver us. He's well able. That's not a question. There's no debate of that here. Our God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. The need that I have, the problem that I'm facing, the Lord is well able to take care of that. But you know, their faith didn't stop there. They said, but if He does not, we're still not careful to answer you in this matter. Even if the Lord has other plans, if the Lord doesn't see fit, and the time, if that promise we read in James was taken as literally as we might like to take it, there would be no case and no instance where the saints would die. But I can come and I can bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I claim the blood. If it would be Your will, Lord, would You please give me that portion? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Thank the Lord today for the great privilege that we have that He's made available to us, even still today in our time. You pray for me. Amen.